Good morning, and welcome everybody to our Zazen Kai, our one-day session. Thank you for being here to share the Dharma together. Zazen Kai is an opportunity for a day or part of a day of uninterrupted Zazen. We try to make the forms as similar to a regular session as possible, with a few simplifications. So take advantage. This morning we're going to take up a case in the Wu Men Guan. As most of you know, the Wu Men Guan is the first of the classical collections of koans that we work with in our koan curriculum here at the center. It was compiled sometime in the early part of the Song Dynasty by Master Wu Men. He compiled 48 cases of these sometimes rather strange stories of the sayings and doings of the classical Zen masters of Tang Dynasty China. And in his collection, he has included the main case and then a commentary. And then he also includes a verse. Today we'll take up case number 2, Bai Zhang and the Fox. The case reads, it's a rather long one. Once when Bai Zhang gave a series of talks, a certain old man was always there listening together with the monks. When they left, he would leave too. One day, however, he remained behind. Bai Zhang asked him, "Who are you standing here before me?" The old man replied, "I am not a human being. In the far distant past, in the time of Kashyapa Buddha, I was head priest of this mountain. One day a monk asked me, 'Does an enlightened person fall under the law of cause and effect or not?' I replied, 'Such a person does not fall under the law of cause and effect. With this, I was reborn 500 times as a fox. Please, say a turning word for me and release me from the body of the fox.'" He then asked Bai Zhang, "Does an enlightened person fall under the law of cause and effect or not?" Bai Zhang said, "Such a person does not evade cause and effect." Hearing this, the old man was immediately enlightened. Making his bows, he said, "I am released from the body of the fox. The body is on the other side of this mountain. I wish to make a request of you. Please, Abbot, perform my funeral as for a priest." Bai Zhang had the head monk strike the signal board and inform the assembly that after the noon meal, there would be a funeral service for a priest. The monks talked about this in wonder. "All of us are well. There is no one in the morgue. What does the teacher mean?" After the meal, Bai Zhang led the monks to the foot of a rock on the far side of the mountain. And there, with his staff, he poked out the body of a dead fox. He then performed the ceremony of cremation. That evening, he took the high seat before his assembly and told the monks the whole story. Huang Bo stepped forward and said, "As you say, the old man missed the turning word and was reborn as a fox 500 times. What if he had given the right answer each time he was asked the question? What would have happened then?" Bai Zhang said, "Just step up here closer and I'll tell you." Wang Po went up to Bai Zhang and slapped him in the face. Bai Zhang clapped his hands and laughed, saying, "I thought the barbarian had a red beard, but there is a red-bearded barbarian." Wu Men's commentary. not falling under the law of cause and effect. Why should this prompt 500 lives as a fox? Not evading the law of cause and effects. Why should this prompt a return to human life? If you have the single eye of realization, you will appreciate how old Baijiang lived 500 lives of a fox as lives of grace. And then Wu Man's verse. Not falling, not evading. Two faces of the same die. Not evading, not falling. 1,000 mistakes, 10,000 mistakes. Baijiang, whose Japanese name is Hyakujo, his dates were 720 to 814 of the Common Era. He was a pivotal figure in our lineage. He was a Dharma heir of Ma Zu, a Dharma brother of Nan Chuan, the Dharma father of Wang Po, the other protagonist in this story, and Wang Po was the Dharma father of Lin Ji, that's Rinzai. So Baijiang is our direct ancestor and the ancestor of two of the five houses of Chinese Chan. This koan is one of the more subtle and difficult ones that we deal with in our curriculum. It's on Hakuin's hit parade of Nanto koans, the ones he considered hardest to solve. A few years ago, I gave a teisho on this case, and I addressed mainly the issue of cause and effect. So today, I'll look at another aspect of this koan, and that's this business of the fox. What is that about? And what role does the fox play in our lives and our practice? Our story is a play in three acts. In Act One, we have an old man who attends some talks given by Baijiang, but each time he disappears after the talk is over. Until one day he stays behind and tells a remarkable story. It seems that a very long time ago, in a previous kalpa — a kalpa is an unimaginably long period of time. Sometimes it's defined as being between one big bang and the next. So it was a very long time ago. But in that previous kalpa, he was abbot of this same monastery. Well, since the monastery is on Mount Baijiang, and it is customary for Zen masters to take the name of the mountain where they reside, this old monk is presumably also Baijiang. I guess we can call him Baijiang the Elder. Once, in that far-off time, or maybe it was just yesterday, a monk asked Baijiang the Elder, "Does an enlightened person fall under the law of cause and effect or not?" And the old man answered that such a person does not fall under the law of cause and effect. So he is reborn 500 times as a fox. Does the enlightened person fall under the law of cause and effect? Cause and effect. Our lives are dominated by cause and effect. All our cautionary tales, morality tales, urban legends are about cause and effect. If you do evil, evil will catch you out. Good is rewarded. Sometimes that seems like wishful thinking. How many times do we see or hear of someone who has committed all sorts of crimes and yet who lives what appears to be a life of peace and plenty? Have they attained some kind of freedom? And yet we are told that the law of cause and effect, the law of karma — the terms are often used interchangeably, but they are not quite the same thing — is as precise and unforgiving as the law of gravity. There is a notion out there that the liberation described at great length by the Buddha and all the ancestors is liberation from cause and effect. So at first glance, Baizhang the elder's answer seems like the right one. Nevertheless, he ends up as a fox. So what about this fox? The fox is a very interesting figure in Asian folklore. There are shrines to the fox throughout rural Japan. He is revered or feared as the wild fox spirit. Some translations of this koan are entitled The Wild Fox. He is a character of contradictions. Sometimes he does great evil, at other times great good. But he is completely unpredictable. We can compare him with Coyote, the trickster of southwestern folklore, or maybe the Norse god Loki. He's a very powerful being, but rather like the crazy uncle who lives in the attic. You can't rely on him, and you never quite know what he will do next. All you can do is try to stay on his good side, but even that is risky. He might one day decide that he's doing you a great service by setting fire to your house. Or maybe he does it just for the hell of it. But as Wu Min points out in his commentary, the old man lived 500 lives of a fox as lives of grace, as happy, blessed lives. Now, who is it that lives that way? In perfect ease, material, psychological, and spiritual. This wild fox spirit is a deva. The deva realm is one of the six unenlightened realms, the others being asuras, the fighting demons, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, and dwellers in hell. The deva existence is a result of karma. The deva is a heavenly being, lives a heavenly life, but one who has not a single care for others, only for his own ease and pleasure and, yes, enlightenment as well. But it's a false enlightenment, a kind of ecstatic self-absorption which one achieves or attains through Herculean effort. Chogyam Trungpa calls it the absolute ultimate achievement of bewilderment, the depths of ignorance. In his version of the Jataka tale, The Brave Little Parrot, Rafe Martin describes the attitude of the deva. This story tells of a parrot desperately trying to put out a great forest fire by wetting his wings in the river and then flying over the conflagration. Rafe writes, "At this time, some of the devas, gods of a happy realm, were floating high overhead in their cloud palaces of ivory and gold. They happened to look down and they saw the little parrot flying through the flames. They pointed at him with perfect hands. Between mouthfuls of honeyed foods, they exclaimed, 'Look at that foolish bird. He is trying to put out a raging forest fire with a few sprinkles of water. How ridiculous! How absurd!' And they laughed." Not exactly the bodhisattva ideal. When a teacher calls someone a wild fox spirit, it is not a compliment. This person of false enlightenment may claim to be beyond such mundane considerations as cause and effect, as did Baizhang the Elder. We see quite a few wild fox spirits in the koans of the Piyen Lu, the Blue Cliff Record. And the student's job is to see that clearly and help them out. In case number 79, a monk asked Tozu, "It is said all sounds are the sounds of Buddha, right or wrong?" Tozu said, "Right." The monk said, "Master, don't you fart." Tozu gave him a blow with his stick. The monk again asked, "The sutra says, rough words and soft words both lead to the first principle. Right or wrong?" Tozu replied, "Right." The monk said, "Master, can I call you an ass?" Tozu gave him a blow with his stick. In case number 93, a monk asked, "Da Guang, what is the meaning of Zhang Qing's words, reflection and thanksgiving before the midday meal?" Now, this monk is referring to another case in the Blue Cliff Record, number 74, which reads, "Every day at mealtime, Master Qin Yu would himself bring the pail of boiled rice and do a dance in front of the monk's hall. Laughing loudly, he would say, 'Dear Bodhisattvas, come and eat.'" A monk said to Zhang Qing, when the man of old said, "Dear Bodhisattvas, come and eat," what was his meaning? Zhang Qing said, "It is like an offering before the midday meal." Thus the monk asked Da Guang, "The meaning of Zhang Qing's word, is it like an offering before the midday meal?" In response, Da Guang did a dance. The monk made bows. Da Guang said, "What have you seen that you bow?" The monk performed a dance. Da Guang said, "You wild fox spirit." Case 98 reads in part, "When Tian Ping was on pilgrimage visiting teachers, he called on Shi Yin. Tian Ping had a habit of saying, 'Do not say you understand Buddhism. I cannot find a single man who can speak of it.' One day, Shi Yin heard him say that and called him by name. Tian Ping raised his head. Shi Yin said, 'Wrong.' Tian Ping walked a few steps away, and Shi Yin once again said, 'Wrong.' Tian Ping turned and approached Shi Yin, who said, 'Those two wrongs just now, were they my wrongs or your wrongs?' Tian Ping said, 'My wrongs?' Shi Yin said, 'Wrong.' Tian Ping said nothing. Shi Yin said, 'Stay here this summer and let us discuss the two wrongs.' But Tian Ping went away." Seems that Tian Ping couldn't handle his wrongs. A lot of us go through a wild fox stage in our practice. We get a modicum of insight and think that we've gotten the whole enchilada, full enlightenment. No more worries. All is spiritual ease and comfort. And it doesn't matter what we do or say, because we are beyond karma, we think. It may take the teacher some time to beat it out of us. Or maybe we just get over it with time and practice. But the danger lies in how we deal with others. That wild fox can cause all kinds of damage. And we've all heard the horror stories of destructive and wanton behavior by those who claim to be ascended masters or sanctioned teachers. And worst of all, they sincerely claim that this behavior is a manifestation of their enlightenment or their freedom from cause and effect. There is nothing more dangerous in or out of spiritual practice than one who is absolutely certain that he knows. But even the greatest, most favorable karma is eventually exhausted, and then everything falls apart. It's not fun anymore. So after 500 lives in this deva realm, or maybe 30 minutes, the old man decides he's had enough of this suffering. For suffering it is. Even a deva begins to see that this godlike or fox-like estate is just another temporary condition. 500 lives of grace, just 500 more turns on the wheel of suffering. So give him credit. To see that one's understanding is not complete and to make the decision of Baizhang the Elder is in itself a profound realization. It is the realization that everyone in this zendo has come to in one way or another. So he does what a good student does. He goes to the teacher. He shows up at Baizhang the Younger's place and begs for release from the fox body. And Baizhang the Younger hits him with the obvious. You don't ignore causality. No, the liberation we seek is not freedom from cause and effect. It is freedom as cause and effect. It is the freedom of the rain to fall, the sun to shine. It is the freedom to feel all the joys and sorrows of our human life, to laugh all of our laughter, to cry all of our tears. Why would we want to avoid it? And thus Baizhang the Elder is released. In the second act, Baizhang finds a fox's body under a rock and, in accordance with the wish of the old man, performs the rites proper to a dead monk. So the fox died. There's the body. All those lives of grace, 500 happy, blessed lives, lives of a heavenly deva, end up as a dead fox. Each and every entity that has characteristics in time and space will pass away. The most enlightened beings, even the Buddha himself, end up dead. How many lives do we live as human beings? And what is our attachment that we are so reluctant to give them up? Because eventually we do have to give them up. All of them. All life ends in death. But it is only as a human being, with a human body-mind, with all its faults and frailties, and its mortality, that any of us can come to awakening. In the third act, Baizhang relates the whole story to his monks. I suppose if I heard such a tale, I would be very impressed. I would sit there saying, wow, that is really neat, or something like that. But in Baizhang's congregation, there is someone who is really sharp. Huang Bo stands up and asks, as you say, the old man missed the turning word and was reborn as a fox 500 times. What if he had given the right answer each time he was asked the question? What would have happened then? The right answer. What is that? If I ask you, does the enlightened person fall under the law of cause and effect or not? How will you answer? And don't just repeat Baizhang's words, or you yourself will end up as a fox. Baizhang, however, throws the challenge right back at Wang Bo. Just step up here closer and I'll tell you. At the same time, he's very likely getting a good grip on his stick. But Wang Bo is 7 feet tall. He has the reach and slaps him first. And Baizhang is delighted. I thought the barbarian had a red beard, but there is a red-bearded barbarian. The red-bearded barbarian is, of course, Bodhidharma, the godfather of Chinese Chan. So Baizhang is paying his student a very high compliment indeed. What is that? Does it matter who slaps whom? What is that slap? And what happens to the fox then? Wu Men's verse. Not falling, not evading. Two faces of the same die. Not evading, not falling. 1,000 mistakes, 10,000 mistakes. If we liberate ourselves not from causality, but as causality, then that question, does the enlightened one fall under the law of causality or not, becomes a non-issue. Two faces of the same die. But if we obsess over that question, caught up in notions about falling, evading, dodging, transcending, our lives become a never-ending series of regrets. Oh, if I had only done this or that, 1,000, 10,000 mistakes. Another translation has it as hundreds and thousands of regrets. Don't spend a lot of time and energy looking for something out there, outside your body and outside your mind. Don't strive for some other state or way of being. The more you try to become enlightened, the more you become the fox. Ordinary mind is the way. Ordinary mind and ordinary body sitting here in this zendo right now. Just come back to the practice. Come back to mu, to one, the breath, or just sitting. See clearly the here and now, warts and all. To do this requires an openness, a willingness to be vulnerable. And it is in that complete vulnerability, in that openness, that we are completely invulnerable. Then we are completely free. Together with all beings, we realize the way.